Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
Greetings to each and every one of you out there. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We are ready to go. We are ready to roll. We hope you're on board with us. This is Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT, ACT, Action Leaders. Leaders got to act. Put yourself in action. Get your teams into action. And cultural transformation. You want to get them in gear, get them going? Well, then get that culture working for everybody so that they feel engaged and are excited about getting into action. Rich Barron, my partner, Michael Bailey, we're here to discuss a great topic today. We're excited to share this with you. It is all about, here's the new boss, same as the old boss. What in
yes.
the devil is that all about?
That's a really good question. I think it's, if we look at a lot of the companies that we know that we've seen, they've been in the news recently, or companies we've actually had some kind of association with, they get rid of the old school guys or, you know, the old regime, and they bring in a new regime, if you will, packaged under a different, you know, banner or whatever it might be. But pretty soon you find out, once they get entrenched, once they're in there for a while, not much changes. Not much changes. And a lot of that has to do with perhaps the holding companies that own some of these businesses or these organizations, or, you know, and this buy and sell. They bring, you know, they want to buy an organization, get it ready and sell it. And, you know, in some ways that doesn't work. They get rid of the old boss and they bring in the new boss. And pretty soon everybody's, right off the bat, man, we're excited. We got a new boss and the old boss is gone. Until you find out that there's not a lot of change there. And that's,
it's even worse.
In some cases it's even worse because they've been brought into clean house.
Yeah. You know, you said, you know, that this idea of, you know, new packaging and a new package of leaders coming in. What that reminded me of, what I thought of was this. It's like the way they package potato chips now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
it's the same
size package, but there's not as many chips in there, but there is a lot of air.
There's a lot more air in it. It's like, you know, buying a 1987 Yugo. And, you know, it doesn't run so good, but you go down to the showroom and the 1988 models have come out and they look so much nicer. So you trade in your 87 Yugo for an 88 Yugo. There's not a lot of difference.
And you think you go, but you won't.
Yeah, no, you don't. I don't know. Maybe a lot of our listeners don't remember Yugos.
I don't know. Tell me a little bit about the Yugos. What was that about? For those who don't know.
Yeah, the Yugo was a car that was sold here in the United States in the 80s, okay? And it was a new car that was brought over, and it was supposed to be this wonderful new economic little sedan. And it turned out to be an absolute paperweight. And and it really was, and, you know, from the way it was manufactured to the customer service, everything about them. And they didn't last long. You saw them here for a while. And, you know, I don't remember the last time one ever even touched the highways here, but it's been a few decades anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You go back to where you came from. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So what about these bosses? They get rid of the old boss and here comes the new boss and everybody gets excited and then they find out, no, it's not anything great or new or wonderful. They didn't really fix a doggone thing. They've just reinforced it. They've doubled down.
And a lot of that you find out that it's because the previous leadership, if you know you call it that, didn't do their job in getting things ready to maybe be sold or you know to start bringing in the revenue that they felt they should be bringing in. And so instead of working with the people, working with the organization, embracing some of the change that is working, they bring in this new leadership, get rid of the old leadership, bring in this new leadership under this guise that, yeah, everything's going to be great now. We're going to be more people-centric organization. And it turns out to be just the opposite once they get in place and get entrenched.
So much of it has to do with vision. So much of it has to do with the mission of an organization. And to be honest with you, there's what's stated. This is the vision of our company. This is the mission of our company or our organization. But then there's another one that they don't really tell you about, the official vision, the official mission of the company. Yes. So it looks like it's all roses up here and sunshine and flowers and, you know, jelly beans and all that kind of great stuff. But underneath it, that's not what it is at all. We talked about three people that we know of, at least three people that we know of. Talented people, capable people, really had a great ability to bring a lot of contribution to the organization, but it was not what the new AMA, right, wanted. Right. They wanted something different. They wanted a different kind of thing. And so therein becomes the whole thing. What is the organization really about? We talked about this. Is the organization about what's good just for the organization? Or are they looking for what's good for the organization and the people that are working for them? Oftentimes, it's very cut and dry. I really don't care about you because it's the organization that we're interested in because we just bought and went to turn the company. We're just interested in the money. Screw the legacy. We don't care.
Oh, yeah, because it's not going to be ours anyway.
Right.
We're going to make what we can off of this. And when we're done, and when we pass it on to the next owners, it doesn't matter what they do with it because we've already got out of it what we wanted. Or yeah, we didn't get out of it what we wanted. And so we're going to pass that on to the next guy and maybe package that up in a package for them. Now, here's the interesting story. We know of a recent issue around this where a specific holdings company. And we're not going to mention any names in this, by the way. You know, we don't have permission to, and it's we don't want to anyway. But a specific holdings company that owned an organization was getting it ready to sell. And they had an NDA from another company, another organization was coming in to purchase that part of that company or buy that entity from this holdings company. Once they started looking through the financials, they found things in the financials that, you know, really pointed to some, you know, underhanded acts, some embezzling.
Nefarious. Yes.
Nefarious activities. Yes. And they backed out of the deal. They backed out of the deal. And because of that, the current owner really got some egg on their face. Wow. We are going to sell this. We thought we had this package to sell, and it turns out that we didn't even have the wherewithal to audit our own organizations that we own. And it took someone else coming in doing the audits that wanted to buy that found out that, hey, you know, this isn't what you said it was. That's because some of the nefarious activities that were going on. So hence the meet the new boss, same as the old boss. The old boss has got removed. new ones got brought in under this guise that, yes, we're going to really clean this up. We're going to make this a super people-centric organization. And instead of doing that, they've come in and actually weaponized some of the things that were put into place to eliminate some of the silos that were there, to really get people engaged, start really building the culture. And, you know, so, you know, what do you have to say about that? I mean, it from the whole get-go, and if you stand back and take a look at this from the 10,000-foot view, it's just dirty. It's just a splotch on business.
It is. And let's make some things really clear here. When businesses do that and they bring in quote unquote new leadership, stop right there and watch and see what they do. But we talked about this before. Why are we getting the same results? Why are we getting the same kind of leaders? Nothing's changed. Well, the roots of the organization has not changed. Their real values, their real agenda is still the same. They've just been exposed, but now they're covering it up. They say, well, now we've changed it, but nothing's really changed at all.
Right.
So when you take a look at that, is that an organization of leaders? I would suggest no. They are not leaders of any. You can't even imagine them being real leaders. What they are hard-driving managers and drivers.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they are. They are not leaders. Leaders care about people. These are just hard. That's right. Bosses, hard driving managers and leaders that all are looking at is the bottom line. Now, why do we bring this up to you folks who are listening here? Because it's important for you as you're out there working sometimes and probably a lot of times, actually, you're going to be working, have the opportunity or maybe already in a situation working for an organization that doesn't care about you. And of course, they're going to tell you that they care about you, which is now just screwing with your mind when you're going inside. There's something wrong. I don't feel it. They're saying that they do care. They're supporting us and they're respecting us. But in your gut, you know that's not true. Trust your gut. They don't care. Whatever deal they've got going on, they don't care. Because the likelihood is this. You are probably working for an organization that isn't so great, that is not so friendly towards its employees. Oftentimes they think they are, but that can be just kind of a veneer so long as things are going well, things are going the way they want. But when times get tough, I loved what you brought out months ago, and it was a brilliant observation. When times get tough, the best organizations do not fire their employees. They work with their employees to come with innovative ways to cut costs, to be more effective, on and on and on. But the ones that are poor, they're the ones that start cutting the bottom line by cutting employees.
Yes. And it's a lot of that's out of an act of desperation because they haven't been paying attention to their employees in the first place.
That's right.
And the sad part about these companies that we're talking about that get taken advantage of by these bosses we've been mentioning, there are people there that put their heart, soul, their life's work, everything into this organization, into the products and services that these companies represent. And now, because of that, they're being completely taken advantage of by these people that see nothing but dollar signs. Or, you know, and they don't, like you said, they don't use their employees to really solve the problems. Instead, it's a number on a P&L statement. And if we get rid of X amount of people, that number on that line item is going to look so much better. And so what happens is they've lost all that value, from those people that they've spent years training or years developing or have been there for years and have all this knowledge of the organization and the products and services.
Right.
You know, and it's a completely backwards approach to really becoming a successful, futuristic vision, you know, forward vision organization.
You mentioned before we were got on to here today about people that say they understand lean manufacturing, but they behave in such a way that reveals they do not. Open that up, because again, I think there's a lot of people that get into lean manufacturing and all that kind of stuff, and So they're being told this is what we're following, these principles.
Yes.
But they are not. How do you sort through the ones that really are the authentic ones and those that are just saying it but aren't playing it?
You know, it's not just about lean manufacturing or Six Sigma or you know, team building, anything like that. Those people who really understand the lean manufacturing and Six Sigma, what it's there for is that elimination of waste, elimination of defects in the product. And really getting what it comes down to is eliminating waste. And if you look at really what waste is all those things that the customer doesn't pay for, right? But in certain instances, when there's these things put into place by teams that are doing really well, processes put into place by teams, or you know, even using type of accountability processes that now get turned into something that, instead of using that as a way to improve the process, remove waste out of the process, they've turned those into something that is now weaponized. And when I say weaponized, I mean by instead of looking at a system or a process that on a daily basis, because things aren't going to change overnight. They simply don't. Good, these people who really understand Lean and Six Sigma, they know they look at trends over time. That's really how you see how things are working. But instead of doing that, you weaponize that and say, you did this yesterday. Why is that? And really coming down hard on some of these people that, you know, maybe have had a bad day or their department had a bad week. That doesn't mean that that department's a waste or those managers are a waste or their supervisors are a waste.
They're just playing gotcha. That's what they're doing.
They're playing gotcha.
Playing gotcha.
Now, and, you know, without, you know, putting too fine of a point on it, we've seen that happen in a very specific manner that they have now done nothing but revert this organization back to silos. They've turned it back into one of fear, one of we can't, you know, really discuss these processes. And there was a lot of money spent to put some of these processes in place for these some of these organizations. And so now we have people at top saying, yeah, I've had all this experience in Lean and Six Sigma and whatever, but they've come in and they've taken those very processes that make these things work and weaponized them. And, you know, all I got to say is shame on you. You know, if that's your version of Lean, if that's your version of success, if that's your version of continuous improvement, is to be little and wrongly hold people accountable for something you're not aware of. Yeah, I could go on all day, Michael, but I won't.
Yeah, and what you really create is a horrible culture where people are now acting out of fear. They've got high anxiety. So now people, instead of striving to improve, striving to win, striving to create greater successes, they start playing from the position of playing not to lose. Yeah. So now they're overly careful. They're overly cautious. They don't put forth their ideas. They don't put forth their opinions about things. They don't even put forth their suggestions. We've talked about that a lot. How many times have we talked to people said, you had a great idea, probably. You made a suggestion. But instead of them really even listening to you, considering what it is that you're talking about, considering the benefits, they just shut you down. That tells you something about the organization, that they don't really care. They're not really listening. And again, for those folks out there, you may want to really take a look at, am I really in the right place? And I'll tell you one of the things that's the kind of a marker on it. That's this. Are you happy when you go to work? Do you look forward to going to work? Are you excited about going in through the doors? Are you excited about seeing your coworkers? Are you excited about seeing your bosses? Are you excited about just being there and doing the work and using your talents and skills to make something worthwhile, to do something worthwhile that makes a difference in other people's lives? If you're not feeling it, two things you got to consider. One, it's not a good place. That's the first thing you got to consider. And then number two, maybe you're not working at the right place. And then maybe I'll say one more third one. Maybe you're not showing up the way you ought to be showing up to work. So then there's another number of things to consider.
Yep. And these people, I'll tell you, if you're one of these people or know these people who get these PTO hours, and they manage them to the point they burn through them as quick as they can. And then they you know how they roll in, you know, they accrue over time some of these PTO programs. And so they watch that so close. And as soon as they've accrued a little bit more, boom, they find another way to take a day off or call in. So they're constantly right to the edge. And, you know, you see these people all the time. And I don't know if you're one of them or not, but if you're doing that because you hate going into work, man, you need to find something better. Instead of wasting your time trying to figure out your PTO hours so you don't get written up or whatever that might be. But, or on the other hand, if you're the person doing that simply because you don't want to show up, like Michael just said, that's another issue altogether.
That is. And see, really what we're attempting to do here in our podcast is this. We want to help everybody out there, whatever level that you are working at in an organization, to come together and say, what makes a great culture? What creates a great organization? What can we do to take this time? We spend so much of our lives at work. How do we make this so it's quality time? Not just in terms of the experience, but in terms of the output, in terms of how we help each other, in terms of what the organization is about. How do we make it better? Because there's too much time wasted in just bad, poor practices, whether they're employees or leaders or culture or whatever it is. We've knocked a lot of people. You might say leaders, HR, employees. Yeah. The idea is this: if you're going to be somewhere, why not be your best? Why not bring out your best? Why not encourage others to be their best? Why not make it a better place because you're there working with other people to bring out the best in everybody and what it is you do? If you're going to be there anyway, why would you throw away? Why would you just throw it all away and just say, well, I'm glad I got through another day. Let's get out of here.
And, you know, here's the thing. We know of organizations. We know of so many great companies that just are doing it right. They're doing it right. They got great cultures. They got great leaders. They got programs to develop these leaders. They trust their employees. They do everything they can to engage their employees and utilize the things that they come up with. And so they're out there. They're absolutely out there. Or you could be, unless you want to be Bob or Betty Butthead, and that's what you want to be remembered for. Sorry if, you know, this isn't anything against Bob or Betty.
This is not for children.
No. If that's your legacy, if that's a legacy you want to leave, then, you know, and you're okay with that, I don't know. I don't have much more to say for you. But
I think you've said plenty at this point.
Thanks. Nothing like a little controversy to.
You hear what they said today?
You need mouth out with soap.
If your mom was around, she probably would.
Yes, considering the fact that my mom's name was Bobby. She would. That's a true story. My mom's name is Bobby.
Double jeopardy, Rich.
Yeah, that's right.
All righty. If people want to get a hold of us, what do they do?
MichaelBailey.com, M-A-I-K-E-L, Bailey.com. Great website, great information, and easy contact information in there. RichBarronExecutiveCoaching.com. Same thing. You can find all of our contact information in there. You can find us on LinkedIn and, you know, send us an email. Give us a call. Let's talk. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to sit down and we would love the opportunity to work with you.
Good. I like that a lot. Just a short little idea here. Just a short brief thing I'm going to leave with you. And that's this. Great leaders are always growing. So that they're always knowing more how to help the people. But beyond that, they're also always showing the way to go. Be a great leader. Grow, know, and show. Make a difference. Leaders lead well.
Absolutely. And have a good time with each other and take care of each other. Take care of each other. All right. Talk to you soon.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, richbarronexecutivecoaching.com or michaelbailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Barron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.